your 3U Jaguar Zone once again. I want to thank Podomatic for allowing us to bring you this, as well as Impact Media. Things we want to get into today, I'm going to tell you about the newest addition to the team as we picked up a new player. I want to go over that Jacksonville-Cincinnati game, and then, of course, we're going to preview the London game coming up very soon. But real quickly, I will get into a couple orders of business real quick. You know, didn't really get a chance to talk with you guys last week, and that was we had to take care of some things on our end. We've had a few things trying to find a home for a lot of the shows and places where you guys can still find us now that we're with Podomatic exclusively. Well, not exclusively, we're a couple other places, but now that we're on Podomatic, anytime you want to find us, we're also on iTunes. All you have to do is go on there and search Jaguar Zone. You'll see the Jaguars logo. Impact Media Jaguar Zone is what it says. It's the easiest way to find us. In fact, I just downloaded it earlier today for somebody who asked me about it. You go on there, you can hit the subscribe button, and every time we have a new show, it will gladly pop in there. You can download it, you can listen to it, you can save it for your friends, you can listen to it 700 times, just whatever you need to do. But definitely you can find us on iTunes, as well as all the other mediums before. You know, since I didn't get a chance to talk with you guys last week, I'll quickly go over the Dolphins-Jaguars game. I'm right there with you guys. A lot of people said the same thing, that Bortles really outdueled Ryan Tannehill, but for some reason didn't get the win. And, I mean, Denard Robinson with 108 rushing yards. This guy has finally, we finally have found the guy we need to start at running back right now. And that's no disrespect to Tubby Gerhardt, but I think he's still a better change of pace, second or third guy, especially around goal lines, because it is hard to account for him. But Denard's doing quite well doing that, and especially as a lifelong diehard Michigan fan, I am happy to see Wolverines do well like this. You know, congrats to Denard. We'll talk a little more on him about the Cincinnati game as well. But to me, this all centers around, and I'll get into it a little more on the other game as well. Bortles is pretty patient for the most part when he's given time. Now, we're starting to solidify the offensive line. A lot of good things are happening. It's actually starting to go pretty good. So we can't fault a lot of things. The offensive line has to gel, because most of the time, especially with a new young team like this, you're trying to plug and play players, and you're trying to figure out, maybe because of injuries or anything, you're trying to figure out who will play well next to who, and the types of combinations that you really need to throw together. I think right now we're slowly starting to get it, but, you know, in the game against the Dolphins, they do have a great, great front line, some decent linebackers. They were able to get at Bortles a handful of times, forced him to throw a couple interceptions. Hey, it happens. Still young, still doing well, and, I mean, it was only two scores. My rule has always been 15 or more is considered a blowout. Or a domination. 14 points, that's two plays. That's a kick, or that's, you know, a pass and a kick return. An onside kick even. You know, I've seen onside kicks thrown back. We have the type of players that could easily do this. I mean, keeping Ryan Tannehill under 200 now that, I mean, he blew up against San Diego over the weekend. So, I mean, keeping him under 200, I'm pretty happy with that. He actually threw the interception as well, and we're still seeing Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns. Hurns is by far the deep threat of the team, and he is the go-to guy for Bortles. Even when the other team knows it, he still catches the ball. Allen Robinson, I've said since way before the draft, is one of the best route runners, not only in the draft, but possibly in the league. He continues to just pile up catch after catch, and you know, we still have Clay Harbor. We still have Cecil Shorts. Denard can catch balls. Keith Lee, that Todman Gerhardt, all these guys. I mean, all the weapons are there. It's just getting everybody familiar, playing each other, and the tendencies. As Bortles, you know, maybe now that he's getting used to Hearns, he knows that Hearns likes to run a post more than a go route. Or, you know, maybe he knows that Allen Robinson prefers to duck to the left more than going to the right. It's just little small things that when that can sink in. You got to think to Brady and Moss. You got to think to Peyton and Marvin Harrison. You got to think about Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, you know, those kind of link-ups to where they know what the play is, but they also know a signal. A receiver throws a signal, or a quarterback throws a signal at the receiver. They know the play and what's going to happen. Like I said, I mean, really limited a lot. They made, you know, the Jaguars made Tannehill pass the ball around to different people, something he typically doesn't do all that much. Usually he tries to throw it to Mike Wallace, or he tries to throw it to Lamar Miller out of the backfield. Brian Hartline. He usually picks one guy, Brandon Gibson even, Charles Clay, one of those, you know, and just tries to hit the one guy. Just tries to hit the one guy the whole time. And, you know, it happens. At the time, that put us to 1-7. That put them to 4-3. They're in a rough division. But, you know, good luck to them catching the Patriots. And you know, I think the Jaguars still looked good and respectable then, even with not getting the win. Now, as I said, getting into the game against the Bengals, once again, 33-23, only lose by 10. I'm okay with that because the Bengals have a lot of firepower as well. We have a young defense plugging and playing different players because of injuries. Different things that happened. We had a couple injuries out of this one. Will Blackman went down. He's going to be missed, but that'll jump us right into, if I can find his name, there it is, that we signed Kari Fort, who was drafted this year by the Saints. I think he got hurt. He was waived. The Bengals picked him up at one point. And then they had to make room for some other players they needed, and so he was signed to the practice squad. Now he's officially on the Jaguars full squad. You know, he was one of the 12 national semifinalists for the 2013 Butkus Award. He started 9 games for California. He had a ton of tackles, 3.5 of them for loss. 64, I believe, is what he had. His final year. He started at Penn State, and after all the stuff that happened up there, he was one of the few that transferred over to California, where he did pretty well. Like I said, he was able to get into their system, and kind of make a little bit of a name for himself so he could get drafted. I don't know what number he's going to go by or anything like that, but I do think he's going to get a decent amount of playing time very, very soon. But Fort is his name, and that's the 2 T's, as Will Blackman is down IR. But back to the game. In watching this game, I felt the Jaguars were in it the entire time. I did not see one time whatsoever where I thought, man, they're completely out of this. Like, no, because Andy Dalton is always kind of erratic. He's not the most accurate guy there is. He was 19 for 31, so he was just a little above 50%. He's about 56% or something like that accurate. 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. I believe he was sacked a couple times. I believe we had there was a half sack shared at one point by Davis and Smith, and then of course Marks had the one a little later on. They were only able to get 2 on Bortles. I'm okay with that. There were some knockdowns and stuff like that. That's going to happen. You know, it's called playing football in the NFL. because, you know, for the most part, I haven't seen anybody really attacking Josh Scobie for the kickoff out of bounds. And for somebody who's had such an almost perfect record in the league and being one of the most accurate and best kickers in the league, you know, sometimes things are not going to go in his favor. Sometimes the luck factor just, I think he was trying to pinpoint a kick. He missed it by about a yard and a half, it looked like. It did go out of bounds, allowed the Bengals. This is when the Jaguars had pulled within 3 points. And it allowed them to start, you know, when kickoff goes out of bounds. If the receiving team gets the ball on the 40, Jeremy Hill was able to take one 60 yards all the way to the house. And that was pretty much the final offense of the day. But like I said, I don't hold Scobie accountable. I'm not going to jump on him for it, because you know how many other times Scobie has saved games with his kicks, how many other times he's put the team in a great position, either to get a turnover or a great position in winning a game. So as far as I'm concerned, Scobie, we're good. You know, let's dust this one off. Let's just wipe it right off the shoulder there. And in the words of Bill Belichick, we're on to the London game. Some other things I did see in there, Alan Hearns continues to impress, in my opinion. He is the go-to guy. Like I said, he catches it even when two or three guys are on him. What a great pickup he's been. Everybody seems to kind of pitch in when it comes to receiving. It was spread out a little bit more this week. With Hurts had 112, which is really cool. Robinson's in there, Shorts is in there with 35 and 40. They're just spreading the ball around, the things you want to do. The top receiver for Cincinnati was Mohamed Sanu, not even A.J. Green. We were able to shut A.J. Green down for the most part. 3 catches for 44 yards. They had to start running trick plays and try to get him to run reverses and stuff like that. And even then, you got him in the backfield. So, I mean, stuff happens. And the way this team's playing, I'm good with it. There were 88 total tackles by the team, and that's including the combined ones. That's a lot. That's great numbers. I like what they're doing. Had the 2 interceptions with Thomas and Martin grabbing one. In fact, Thomas was able to get a few yards on his on the way back. I have no problem with Jordan Todman doing the kick returns. I have no problem with Ace Sanders doing the punt returns. And I understand a lot of times, for the most part, there's not a lot of punts, but even when there are, I'd like to see him try to run it back a little more, so maybe we can work on the special teams of setting up better blocks. Scobie didn't miss a kick. Nothing new there. Anger keeps us in the game so many times. He's a phenomenal punter. At one point, he kicked that 51-yard boomer that was just fantastic. Just fantastic. It's the kind of stuff that you definitely want to see. Like I said, most of the pieces are in order here. And I know the Jaguars are going to got a ton more season to play and plenty of other opportunities to win games and stuff, possibly even this week. You never know how the Cowboys are going to play. Before we get to that London game, did want to see that is wanted to mention some articles that I read recently off of Jaguars.com. Those guys do some great work. Brandon Natus, who is the social media coordinator at Jaguars.com, posted a Jaguars 101. It's a brief synopsis of the Jacksonville Jaguars for the casual fan. And clearly, if you're listening to this show, you're probably not a casual fan. But for people who don't, you know, quite understand some of the things that we do at games and especially some of the awesome chants and stuff like that, he goes through and there's a handful of things back and forth that just explains everything from, let's see, there's 11 different things he says, everything from how important the roar and Jackson are all the way to why it's called the bank, what Duval means. All these just awesome things, and I just want to say kudos to Brandon Natus. Amazing article. If you get a chance, read it. Like I said, it's called Jaguars 101. It's just really cool. In fact, the Bold City Brigade, which I'm going to get into in a second because you guys have an awesome thing coming up. You guys actually have a cameo Twitter photo in here with a ton of you guys, and that's really cool. You guys get a lot of press coverage, and between you guys and the Teal Street Hooligans, I talk about you for a reason, not just because you're buddies of mine. I mean, because the first time I went to Jacksonville to see a game, I'd never met any of you guys, and from the first 5 minutes I was in there, I felt like we had been friends for a long time, so, you know, I appreciate that. Look forward to seeing you guys hopefully very, very soon. There was Brian Sexton, who is the senior correspondent on the Jaguars site, had his five key moments, and they were, for the most part, the four of them were things I had wrote down as well. The first one I didn't write down, but I'll kind of briefly go over some of these. He said the entire first half, and it's the penalties and ways that just killed drives and stuff like that. It happens. The fact that there were two blocked punts in the first half was a little odd to me, but once again, I think it's special teams, and I think that's an area that we can improve with a few little tweaks. He talks about Denard's fumble, and then the next play was the 40-yard touchdown pass. It's a good way to come back from adversity like that. When the Jags were backed up in the fourth quarter, then the 31-yard punt return from, I mean, it was a great punt by Brian Anger, but Adam Jones, because apparently we can't call him Pac-Man anymore. I've actually met him. Very cool guy. Hated that he was on the other sideline. But Adam Jones, you know, was able to take it all the way back to the 23, and then the red rifle just threw it right in there to A.J. Green. The sequence he was talking about in the fourth quarter with Hearn's second touchdown and the Thomas interception and then the Denard touchdown. you know, that was a cool sequence. It was finally showing us that not only was the comeback in order, but it was on its way to fruition. I mean, that made it 26-23. I had everybody watching around me. It seems to happen every time I watch Jaguar games. There'll be other games on around us, and I get so into it and saying things and taking notes and all that people end up watching what I'm doing. But that whole sequence, you're just like, all right, now we're down three. There's 4 minutes and something left, I believe. And then, like I said, it was that Scobie kick that, I mean, like I said, I don't, Scobie, it's not your fault. You know, I'm going to give you a shout out on here as well. As many games as you've saved and put us in better conditions to win and situations, in no way can I say anything bad here. So just keep doing what you're doing, Scobie, and we'll get them next time. But those are the things he said. He explains them a little more in depth. So once again, we'll give the shout out to Brian Sexton as well. That was a good article that helped explain everything. All right, now I want to get into the London game. Now, everything I've heard up to this point, a lot of you guys have asked me as well, the Jaguars are not moving to London anytime soon. In fact, London's not getting an NFL team for, I would imagine, at least 4 or 5 years from now. And Jaguars are not even the top team being talked about. So, we'll throw that out. The good thing is, now that the game's going to be over there, we actually have part of the fan base, the Union Jacks, which are really awesome. How many other fan bases can be international like that and you know, actually have fan bases in other countries? I know the Jaguars do. There's Bold City Brigade chapters, I think, even in Australia. Well, I give a shout-out to them as well. The Union Jacks will be going loud. More than likely, the way I see it, I don't know if Romo's going to play for Dallas. I do very much think that it could be Brandon Whedon. I know if I was Dallas, it would be Brandon Whedon. The problem with them last week is that Whedon didn't get to practice with the first team as much as he should have, and that's why he wasn't able to help them out so much. So you got to make that decision early. just like anybody who was injured knew pretty much if they're making the trip or not for the Jaguars. So the best way to tackle Dallas is, you know, obviously put pressure and try to get some penetration in the backfield. But with Whedon, you actually want to flush him a little bit because he's not quite as accurate on the run as he is staying in the pocket with pressure. So you want to flush him a little bit. With him being right-handed, I would say try to flush him to the left if you can, to his left, which would be the defense right, so that he has to throw across his body, which is a hard throw already, especially if you're running. As far as containing Dez Bryant, I mean, we contained AJ Green last week, so, you know, same things in order here. I think the bump and run coverage, you want to be physical at the line of scrimmage. You want to let them know that we will kind of punch you in the mouth as a figure of speech. I'm not saying actually punch them in the mouth. This is not Jeff Gordon, Brad Keselowski, or NASCAR for that matter, but I think you need to be physical with these guys. As far as stopping DeMarco Murray, the best thing to do is still keep seven in the box and just plug the holes. Because matchup-wise, I believe the Dallas offensive line is going to have trouble with the Jaguars' front three or four. I think they can be able to get in the middle of that. As far as their defense has played a lot better, but they haven't really seen all the young, fast talent up to this point that the Jaguars have, and I don't know how much tape they have on Bortles. If the offensive line can give him a few seconds to try to make some good plays and not have to rush a throw or anything, I think this could very much be a back-and-forth, low-scoring game. I mean, we're talking, 2017, 24-20, 24-21, somewhere in there. I think the Jaguars could win this. Do I think they actually will? Yeah, I think they can beat the Cowboys, especially if it's Whedon. Now, if it's Romo, you want to put pressure on him and you want to knock him down, because already with a sore back, if you start knocking him around, he's going to start getting a little more skittish trying to protect his back, and he's going to be more worried about not getting injured than actually making the good play, even though Romo's a competitor. Brandon Whedon is one as well, but I think you could flush him. With Romo, you want to keep him in the pocket more, because when he runs out one way or the other is when he's more dangerous. He can see more of the field. I did tell you I wanted to get into the Bowl City Brigade, who have a watching party coming up. They're going to be at Curtis Dvorak's, which is, you know, Jackson DeVille, obviously, who had been on earlier this year, having a fantastic season. Sure, people are going to mess with him. Some of the outside people don't get some of his shenanigans, but to me, he's still the best mascot out. So, Jackson, if you're listening, by all means, keep doing what you're doing, buddy. You represent Jacksonville well, as far as doing what you got to do to not only be entertaining but be the best at what you're doing. But they're going to be at the Shim Sham Room on Sunday. Apparently, there are some really good draft specials. Free shooters, possibly. I'm trying to read three or four notes at the same time. It's the home game away from home tailgate party. They have some links up on their Twitter, at Bowl City Brigade. They do want to know about a head count or something like that, so make sure to RSVP on the Facebook page, Bowl City Brigade. So they can figure out how many people are coming. Shim Sham Room has told them they can open as much space as they need. It's also the last Bold City Brigade non-tailgate event until April. I believe the Shim Sham Room has some chicken and waffles that are just fantastic. And I definitely know... Curtis is always talking about how good the food is there, so, you know, if it's good enough for him, it's definitely good enough for me. So, definitely try to check out the Bowl City Brigade event at the Shim Sham Room. For more information, you can go Facebook, or you can go to the Twitter site and follow the link there as well. Bay is pretty much going to do it for me this week. I do want to say thanks to Impact Media and Podomatic for allowing us to do shows every week. We love being on Podomatic and look forward to